is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
And holding on to it, you know. Keep it rolling while some walk around like, gimme, you owe me. Not kidding. I mean, totally lost in self-denial. Full of baloney, so mean. Always mad and loathing. Everything surrounding, just soaking. Everybody energy up like protein. Gossiping, lots of them don't even know me. Posing, fraudulating. Whole scenes for the viewing pleasure of those with no things to occupy themselves and keep them growing. But y'all know me, I see no need to stifle your thing. Especially if we homies, but if that's the way it's gonna be, so be it. No grievance, I don't feel my soul needed. Situations that we go through, but you can't let emotions control you. Foes of gold try to throw you, cause they know it's a way to control you. They say I'm cold, but I told you I got goals, I focus on the whole. BL, y'all, I'm telling y'all, it's no beef. I be on a solo creep. Foes keep shit on the slunder, but I'ma go deep. I mean, so deep below, behold the whole sea. Soul seek, visualize and peep the coral reef. That goes for those who feel they so elite, so weak about how shit's supposed to be. Y'all dopes to me, sit back, insulting me, but you don't get more votes than me. I outshine, you don't generate as many votes as me. Still, I could cut the lights, I'm low key, but that don't stop the hoes, they nosy. You know how hoes be, they think they pussy gold, please. Go, you can hold the streets, and your mama said, no, she no more than me. So you can't go home and sleep, and D ain't giving up though to freak it. No doubt. I'm just situations that we go through, but you can't let emotions control you. Foes will go and try to throw you, cause they know it's a way to control you. They sleep, they weep below you. You can tell their emotions show through. They say I'm cold, but I told you I got goals, I focus on the whole. Just situations that we go through, but you can't let emotions control you. Foes will go and try to control you, cause they know it's a way to control you. They sleep, they weep, they below you. And you can tell their emotions show through. And they say I'm cold, but I told you I got goals, I focus on the whole. Just situations that we go through, but you can't let emotions control you. Foes will go and try to throw you, cause they know it's a way to control you. They sleep, they weep below you. You can tell their emotions show through. They say I'm cold, but I told you I got goals, I focus on the whole.
Lesson 2.
I like to know, are you really ready for some super dynamite soul? Introducing the world's greatest entertainer, Mr. Dynamite, the amazing Mr. Please Please himself, the hardest working man in show business. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show, James!
Brown. Get up, get on up, get up, get on up.
machine. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Get up. Get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up. I like a sex machine. Get on up. Wait a minute.
Sales were picking up. On this particular evening, October 30th, the Crosby Service estimated that 32 million people were listening in on radios.
Cha-cha-cha, forward, back, cha-cha-cha, back, forward.
Drugs on.
No, baby, no, you are mistaken.
All of you.
Change in temperature. A slight atmospheric disturbance of undetermined origin is reported over Nova Scotia, causing a low-pressure area to move down rather rapidly over the northeastern state, bringing a forecast of rain accompanied by winds of light gale force. Maximum temperature 66, minimum 48. This weather report comes to you from the Government Weather Bureau. We take you now to the Meridian Room in the Hotel Park Plaza in downtown New York, where you will be entertained by the music of Raymond Raquello and his orchestra.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Meridian Room in the Park Plaza Hotel in New York City, we bring you the music of Raymond Raquello and his orchestra. The Dutch of the Spanish, Raymond Raquello leads off with La Compensita.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. At 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, Professor Farrell of the Mount Jennings Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, reports observing several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity. Professor Pearson of the Observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote.
Of Raymond Raquello playing for you in the Meridian Room of the Park Plaza Hotel, situated in downtown New York. That must never lose his favor, the ever popular Stardust, Damon Rotello on the voice. Ladies and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars. Due to the unusual nature of this occurrence, we have arranged an interview with a noted astronomer, Professor Pearson, who will give us his views on this event. In a few moments, we will take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, New Jersey. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Rotello and his orchestra. Where Carl Phillips, our commentator, will interview Professor Richard Pearson, famous astronomer. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Carl Phillips speaking to you from the observatory at Princeton. I'm standing in a large semicircular room, pitch black except for an oblong split in the ceiling. Through this opening, I can see a sprinkling of stars that cast a kind of frosty glow over the intricate mechanism of the huge telescope. The ticking sound you hear, the vibration of the clockwork. Professor Pearson stands directly above me on a small platform, peering through the giant lens. I ask you to be patient, ladies and gentlemen, during any delay that may arise during our interview. Besides the ceaseless watch of the heavens, Professor Pearson may be interrupted by telephone or other communication. During this period, he is in constant touch with the astronomical centers of the world. Professor, may I begin our questions?
At any time, Mr. Foote.
Professor, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see as you observe the planet Mars through your telescope?
Nothing unusual at the moment, Mr. Phillips. A red disk swimming in the blue sea. Transfer stripes across the disk. Quite distinct now because Mars has to be at the point nearest the Earth in opposition, as we call it.
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, Professor?
Oh, not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Phillips.
Safe.
Although, that's the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited. From a scientific viewpoint, the stripes are merely the result of atmospheric conditions peculiar to the planet.
Then, you're quite convinced, as a scientist, that living intelligence as we know it does not exist on Mars?
I'd say the chances against it are 1,000 to 1.
And yet, how do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet at regular intervals?
Well, I cannot account for it.
Oh, by the way, Professor, for the benefit of our listeners, how far is Mars from the Earth?
Approximately 40 million miles.
Well, that seems a safe enough distance. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has just handed Professor Pearson a message. While he reads it, let me remind you that we are speaking to you from the observatory in Princeton, New Jersey, where we are interviewing the world-famous astronomer, Professor Pearson. One moment, please. Professor Pearson has passed me a message which he has just received. Professor, may I read the message to the listening audience?
Certainly, Mr. Frost.
Ladies and gentlemen, I shall read you a wire addressed to Professor Pearson from Dr. Gray of the Natural History Museum, New York. Quote, 9:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Princeton. Please investigate. Signed, Lloyd Gray, Chief of Astronomical Division. Unquote. Professor Pearson, could this occurrence possibly have something to do with the disturbances observed on the planet Mars?
Hardly, Mr. Phillips. This is probably a meteorite of unusual size, and its arrival at this particular time is merely a coincidence. However, we shall conduct a search as soon as daylight permits.
Thank you, Professor. Ladies and gentlemen, for the past 10 minutes, we've been speaking to you from the Observatory of Princeton, bringing you a special interview with Professor Pearson, noted astronomer. This is Carl Phillips speaking. We are returning you now to our New York studio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the latest bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News, Toronto, Canada. Professor Morse of Macmillan University reports observing a total of 3 explosions on the planet Mars between the hours of 7:45 p.m. and 9:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This confirms earlier reports received from American observatories. Now, nearer home, comes a special bulletin from Trenton, New Jersey. It is reported that at 8:50 p.m., a huge flaming object, believed to be a meteorite, fell on a farm in the neighborhood of Grover's Mill, New Jersey, 22 miles from Trenton. The flash in the sky was visible within a radius of several hundred miles, and the noise of the impact was heard as far north as Elizabeth. We have dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene, and we'll have our commentator, Carl Phillips, give you a word picture of the scene as soon as he can reach there from Princeton. In the meantime, we take you to the Hotel Martinet in Brooklyn, where Bobby Millett and his orchestra are offering a program of dance music.
Phillips again, out at the Wilmot Farm, Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Professor Pearson and myself made the 11 miles from Princeton in 10 minutes. Well, I hardly know where to begin. Paint for you a word picture of a strange scene before my eyes, but something out of a modern Arabian night. Well, I just got here. I hadn't had a chance to look around yet. I guess that's it. Yes, I guess that's the thing directly in front of me. Half buried in a vast pit. Must have struck with terrific force. The ground is covered with splinters of a tree. It must have struck on its way down. But I can see the object itself doesn't look very much like a meteor. At least not the meteors I've seen. It looks more like a huge cylinder. Has a diameter of, what would you say, Professor Pearson?
What's that?
What would you say, what's the diameter of this?
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is... Well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish-white. It's curious. Spectators now are pressing close to the object in spite of the efforts of the police to keep them back. Getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing one side, please? While the police are pushing the crowd back. Here's Mr. Wilmot, owner of the barn here.
Yeah, we're at a crucial moment where the political system is serving very well what we might call the warfare state. And we're in a part of the spin cycle for war where the messages come out conflating the policy of the president with supporting the troops. So we have these sort of preposterous yet accepted media messages from people such as Nancy Pelosi and others in Congress that even though they say they oppose the war and want it to end, they refuse to stop paying for it.
Pearson and myself made the 11 miles from Princeton in 10 minutes. Well, I hardly know where to begin. Paint for you a word picture of a strange scene before my eyes, but something out of a modern Arabian night. Well, I just got here. I hadn't had a chance to look around yet. I guess that's it. Yes, I guess that's the thing directly in front of me. Buried in a vast pit. Must have struck with terrific force. The ground is covered with splinters of a tree. It must have struck on its way down. But I can see the object itself doesn't look very much like a meteor. At least not the meteors I've seen. It looks more like a huge cylinder.
But they refuse to stop funneling billions every week from the U.S. Treasury to subsidize the slaughter, the sending and the deployment and the maintenance of U.S. troops and armaments to kill and be killed. And the message is that, well, we've got our military forces in the field, so we can't stop paying for them. Well, that's a perpetual argument for more war and against withdrawal from a war based on absolute deception.
And the diameter of the... what would you say, Professor Pearson? What would you say, what's the diameter of the...
About 30 yards.
About 30 yards. The metal on the sheath is... Well, I've never seen anything like it. The color is sort of yellowish-white. It's getting in front of my line of vision. Would you mind standing one side, please? While the police are pushing the crowd back, here's Mr. Wilmot, owner of the farm here. He may have some interesting facts to add. Mr. Wilmot, would you please tell the radio audience as much as you remember of this rather unusual visitor that stopped in your backyard? Step closer, please. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Wilmot.
My position on the radio.
Closer and louder, please.
Pardon me?
Louder, please. Closer.
I was listening to the radio and kind of drowsy. A professor fellow was talking about Mars, so I was half dozen, half...
Yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then what happened?
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio, kind of halfway.
Yes, Mr. Wilmot, and then you saw something.
About first off, I heard something.
And what did you hear?
The sincere and the responsible assistance of concerned Americans. They need reason much more than they need emotion. They must have a practical solution and not a concoction of wishful thinking and false hopes.
Hissing sound like
intention and well-meaning they may be.
Kind of like the 4th of July rocket.
Yes, then what?
I turned my head out the window and would have sworn I was sleeping, dreaming.
Yes.
In a kind of greenish streak and then zingo. Something smacked the ground. Knocked me clear out of my chair.
Well, were you frightened, Mr. Wilmot?
Well, I ain't quite sure. I reckon I was kind of riled.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilmot. Thank you very much.
You want me to
No, that's quite all right. That's plenty. Ladies and gentlemen, you've just heard Mr. Wilmot, owner of the farm where this thing has fallen. I wish I could convey the atmosphere, the background of this fantastic scene. Hundreds of cars are parked in the field in back of us, and the police are trying to rope off the roadway leading into the farm, but it's no use. They're breaking right through. Car's headlights throw an enormous spotlight on the pit where the object half buried. Now, some of the more daring souls now are venturing near the edge. The cigarettes stand out against the metal sheen. One man wants to touch the thing. He's having an argument with a policeman. Now, the policeman wins. Now, it's becoming more distinct. Perhaps you've caught it already on your radio. Listen, please. Do you hear it? The curious humming sound that seems to come from inside the object. I'll move the microphone nearer.
The light of the past is a light which was. Wisdom of the past is a light of the past. The light of the future is a light which must be. Wisdom of the future is a light of the past.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something I haven't mentioned in all this excitement, but it's becoming more distinct. Perhaps you've caught it already on your radio. Listen, please. Do you hear it? The curious humming sound that seems to come from inside the object. I'll move the microphone nearer. Here. Now, we're not more than 25 feet away. Can you hear it now? Professor Pearson?
Yes?
Can you tell us the meaning of that scraping noise inside the thing?
Possibly the unequal cooling of its surface.
I see. Do you still think it's a meteor, Professor?
What do you think? The metal casing is definitely extraterrestrial. Not found on this Earth. Friction with the Earth's atmosphere usually tears holes in a meteorite. This thing is smooth and... You can see a cylindrical
shape. Just a minute. Something's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, this is terrific. This end of the thing is beginning to flake off. The top is beginning to rotate like a screw, and the thing must be hollow.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed.
We strive for peace.
Have
every president of the last half century has gone out of his way to say that he wanted peace and wanted to avoid war.
I pledged in my campaign for the presidency to end the war in a way that we could win the peace.
Even while ordering military action.
Someone's calling someone or something. I can see turning out of that black hole two luminous discs. For the eyes, it might be a face, might be almost of heaven. Something wriggling out of the shadow like a gray snake. Now it's another one and another one and another one. They look like tentacles to me. Oh, yeah, I can see the thing's body. Now it's large. It's large as a bear. It bristles like wet leather, but that face. Ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. It's awful. Its eyes are black and they gleam like a serpent. The mouth is a kind of V-shape with a monkey.
So you have this paradox, in a way, of the president who has just ordered massive military violence and lethal action by the Pentagon, turning around and saying, I want to oppose violence and promote peace.
I respect your idealism. I share your concern for peace. I want peace as much as you do.
Actually, war becomes perpetual when it's used as a rationale for peace.
We cannot wait for the final proof.
Back there, keep those idiots back! He's off! The top blew!
Go, Dad!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever witnessed. Wait a minute. Someone's calling someone or something. I can see turning out of that black hole two luminous discs. For the eyes, it might be a face, might be almost a
heaven.
Something.
I want peace.
Wriggling out of the shadow like a gray snake. Now it's another one and another one and another one. They look like tentacles to me. Oh yeah, I can see the thing's body. Now it's large. It's large as a bear. It's like wet leather, but that face. Ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. So awful. Its eyes are black and they gleam like a serpent. The mouth is a kind of V-shape with saliva dripping from its rimless lips. It seems to quiver and pulsate. And the monster or whatever it is can hardly move. It seems weighed down by possibly gravity or something. The thing's rising up now and its heart falls back.
It's used as a rationale for peace.
Cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
As Americans, we like to think that we're not subjected to propaganda from our own government. Certainly that we're not subjected to propaganda that's trying to drag the country into war, as in the case of setting the stage for the invasion of Iraq.
I find words. Well, I pull this microphone with me as I talk. I'll have to stop the description so I can take a new position. Hold on, will you please? I'll be right back in a minute.
Sought significant quantities of uranium.
There is no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of mass destruction.
We are bringing you an eyewitness account of what's happening on the Wilmoth Farm, Groversville, New Jersey.
Yes. Sarin, nerve agent.
Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Iraq and Al-Qaeda.
Terrorism.
Cyber attacks.
Nuclear program.
Biological weapons.
Cruise missiles. Ballistic missiles.
Chemical and biological weapons.
Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
President Bush has said Iraq has weapons of mass destruction.
Tony Blair has said Iraq
Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. Donald Rumsfeld has said Iraq has weapons of mass destruction. Richard Butler has said they do. The United Nations has said they do. The experts have said they do. Iraq says they don't. You can choose who you want to believe.
The war propaganda function in the United States is finely tuned, it's sophisticated, and most of all, it blends into the media terrain.
The White House.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, here I am, back of a stone wall that joins Mr. Wilmer's garden. From here, I get a sweep of the whole scene. I'll give you every detail as long as I can talk and as long as I can see. The more state police have arrived. They're drawing up a cordon in front of the pit. About 30 of them. No need to push the crowd back now. They're willing to keep their distance. The captain conferring with someone. Can't quite see who. Oh, yes, I believe it's Professor Pearson. Yes, it is. Now they've parted, and the professor moves around one side, studying the object while the captain and two policemen advance with something in their hands. I can see it now. It's a white handkerchief tied to a pole. Flag of truce. Those creatures know what that means, what anything means. Wait a minute. Something's happening. Some shape is rising out of the pit. I can make out a small beam of light against a mirror. What's that? Get the flame springs in the mirror and at least try to be advancing men. Strike them head on.
The White House insisted again today.
Oh, Lord, they're turning into flames.
Evidence that Saddam Hussein is hiding an arsenal of prohibited weapons.
It's necessary to provide a drumbeat media echo effect.
Coming this way now, about 20 yards to my right.
Using weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, or radioactive.
There are times
between circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast from Grover's Mill. Evidently, there's some difficulty with our field transmission. However, we will return to that point at the earliest opportunity. In the meantime, we have a late bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Indelkoffer, speaking at a dinner of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic disturbances on the surface of the planet. We continue now with our piano interlude.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone. Just one moment, please.
I think it's 95%
inevitable. You, at this point, right now, tonight, don't see any other option but war. Do you? I'm asking you, Ambassador.
I agree. I don't think there's a viable option for the administration at this point. We're way too far out front in this.
Send us over there, guys. Let's get on with it. Let's get it over with.
Showdown. 40 people, including 6 state troopers, lie dead in a field east of the village of Grover's Mill, their bodies burned and distorted beyond all possible recognition. The next voice you hear will be that of Brigadier General Montgomery Smith, commander of the state militia at Trenton, New Jersey.
I have been requested by the governor of New Jersey to place the counties of Mercer and Middlesex as far west as Princeton and east to Jamesburg under martial law. No one will be permitted to enter this area except by special pass issued by state or military authorities. 4 companies of state militia are proceeding from Trenton to Grover's Mill and will aid in the evacuation of homes within the range of military operations. Thank you.
You have just been listening to General Montgomery Smith, commanding the state militia at Trenton. In the meantime, further details of the catastrophe at Grover's Mill are coming in. The strange creatures, after unleashing their deadly assault, crawled back in their pit and made no attempt to prevent the efforts of the firemen to recover the bodies and extinguish the fire. The combined fire departments of Mercer County are fighting the flames which menace the entire countryside. We have been unable to establish any contact with our mobile unit at Grover's Mill, but we hope to be able to return you there at the earliest possible moment. In the meantime, we take you to... Just one moment, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I have just been informed that we have finally established communication with an eyewitness of the tragedy. Professor Pearson has been located at a farmhouse near Grover's Mill, where he has established an emergency observation post. As a scientist, he will give you his explanation of the calamity. The next voice you hear will be that of Professor Pearson, brought to you by direct wire. Professor Pearson.
Are the creatures in the rocket cylinder at Grover's Mill
I can give you no authoritative information either to their nature, their origin, or their purposes here on Earth. Of their destructive instrument, I might venture some conjectural explanation. For want of a better term, I shall refer to the mysterious weapon as a heat ray. It's all too evident that these creatures have scientific knowledge far in advance of our own. It's my guess that in some way they are able to generate an intense heat in a chamber of practically absolute non-conductivity. This intense heat they project in a parallel beam against any object they choose by means of a polished parabolic mirror of unknown composition, much as the mirror of a lighthouse projects a beam of light. That is my conjecture of the origin of the heat ray.
Thank you, Professor Pearson. Ladies and gentlemen, here is a bulletin from Trenton. It is a brief statement informing us that the charred body of Carl Phillips has been identified in a Trenton hospital. Now, here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C. The office of the director of the National Red Cross reports 10 units of Red Cross emergency workers have been assigned to the headquarters of the state militia, stationed outside of Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Here's a bulletin from State Police, Princeton Junction. The fires at Grover's Mill and vicinity are now under control. Scouts report all quiet in the pit, and there is no sign of life appearing from the mouth of the cylinder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special statement from Mr. Harry McDonald, Vice President in charge of operations.
Iraq, if America goes to war, turn to MSNBC and the experts.
And in many ways, the U.S. news media were equal partners with the officials in Washington and Capitol Hill in setting the agenda for war.
We'll take you there. MSNBC.
And although it's called the liberal media, one has a great deal of difficulty finding an example of major media outlets in their reporting challenging the way in which the agenda setting for war is well underway.
U.S. officials tell CNN. Bush officials says that analysts say.
According to U.S. intelligence,
often we're encouraged to believe that officials are the ones who make news.
U.S. officials here say at the White House tell us
they're the ones who should be consulted to understand the situation.
I just pulled these two things out. I've laundered them so you can't really tell what I'm talking about because I don't want the Iraqis to know what I'm talking about. But trust me.
If history's any guide, the opposite is the case. The officials blow smoke and cloud reality rather than clarify.
We will, in fact, be greeted as liberators.
The notion that it will take several hundred thousand U.S. troops to provide stability in post-Saddam Iraq are wildly off the mark.
So the money's going to come from Iraqi oil revenue, as everyone has said. They think it's going to be something like $2 billion this year. They think it might be something like 15, 12 next year.
A country that can really finance its own reconstruction and relatively soon.
National security advisors Ken Edelman and Richard Pearl, early advocates of the war, said the war would be a cakewalk.
The place at their disposal, our entire broadcasting facility. View of the gravity of the situation, believing that radio has a responsibility to serve in the public interest at all times, we are turning over our facilities to the state militia at Trenton.
We take you now to the field headquarters of the state militia near Grover's Mill, New Jersey.
I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to make a super virus strong enough to cause blackouts in every single metropolis. Cause they don't want to unify us, so fuck it. Total anarchy and can't nobody stop us. You see, late in the evening, fucked up on my computer and my mind starts roaming. I create like a heathen. The first cycles of this virus I can see. in through a modem. Infiltration hit your station. No Microsoft or enhanced DOS will impede. Society thinks they're safe when bingo hard drive crashes from the rending. A lot of hackers tried viruses before. Vaporize your text like so much whiteout. I want it where file replication is a chore. Lights out, shut down entire White House. I don't want just a bug that could be corrected. I'm erecting immaculate design. Break the nation down section by section. Even to the greatest minds, it's impossible to find. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus. I want to devise a virus to bring dire straits to your environment. Crush your corporations with a mild touch. Trash your whole computer system and revert you to papyrus.
I have already planned. The plan is programmed into every one of my 1,000 robots. We will not hesitate. We will destroy the former sapien. Please stay where you are.
Hey, I'm making some shit in my basement. I'm doing it. Don't tell him though. I love you. Peace.
I want to develop a super virus. Better by far than an old Y2K. This is 3030, the time of global unification. Break right through they terminals, burn them all. Slaves of silicon, corrupt politicians with leaders and their keywords. FBI and spies stealing bombs, dissipate their plans in their face and catch the fever. Everybody loot the stores, get your canned goods. Even space stations are having a hard time. Peacekeepers seek to take our manhood, which results in the form of global apartheid. Ghettos are trash dumps with gas pumps, exploded and burnt out since before the Great Union. The last punks walk around like mass monks, ready to manipulate the database or break through them. Human rights come in 100th place. Mass production has always been number one. New Earth has become a repugnant place, so it's time to spread the fear that's fun to some.
Captain Lansing of the signal car attached to the state militia, now engaged in military operations in the vicinity of Grover's Mill. Situation arising from the reported presence of certain individuals of unidentified nature is now under complete control. The cylindrical object, which lies in a pit directly below our position, surrounded on all sides by 8 battalions of infantry, without heavy field pieces, but adequately armed with rifles and machine guns. All cause for alarm, if such cause ever existed, is now entirely unjustified. Things, whatever they are, do not even venture to poke their heads above the pit. I can see their hiding place plainly in the glare of the searchlights here. With all their reported resources, these creatures can scarcely stand up against heavy machine gun fire. Anyway, it's an interesting outing for the troops. I can make out their khaki uniforms crossing back and forth in front of the lights. Looks almost like a real war. There appears to be some slight smoke in the woods bordering the Millstone River. Probably fire started by campers. Well, we ought to see some action soon. One of the companies is deploying on the left flank. A quick thrust and it'll all be over. Oh, wait a minute. I see something on top of the cylinder. No, it's nothing but a shadow. Now the troops are on the edge of the Wilmot Farm. 7,000 armed men closing in on an old metal tube. A tub, rather. Well, wait, that wasn't a shadow. It's something moving. Solid metal, kind of a shield-like affair, rising up out of the cylinder. Going higher and higher. But it's standing on legs. Actually rearing up on a sort of metal framework. Now it's reaching above the trees and the searchlights are on it. Hold on.
And then you know, set them up to float and bait them with the dough. You can do it, punk, or you just go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmland tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars.
But I'ma slap them till my blood starts circulating. Your checks have elasticity. Did they cut off your electricity? Did you scream and yell explicitly? Force the boss into complicity. I'm a white chalk sizzle, but I push a pencil. Rolling dope fiend rentals to your residential. Broke as fuck eating lentils with no utensil. Finna teach pimp class with a hoe credential. They own smoke.
sweatshops, pet cops, and Pensacola. Murder babies with their molars on the areola. Control the Pope, Dalai Lama, Holy Rollers, and the Ayatollah. Bump this rolling in your bucket or your new Corolla. You might catch me on the scenic route with my penis out, yelling twice for the executives with the meanest mouth. Wanna know what this demeanor's about? City, try to clean us out. Greenest cloud, shut them down. I ain't never seen a drought. In the field, but they ain't calling you back. For the record, I ain't called it a gap. But tuck this in the small of your back. Wait in the bathroom stall till I tap. To kill a CEO, slap him up and shake him up, and then you know, let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, 5 million ways to kill a CEO, slap him up and shake him up, and then you know, let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. This game ain't slow, it's the creeper. If you a janitor, get a street sweeper. Ugly is even skin deeper. If you can't get the frizz, get the Viper. They made the murder scene before there was a coroner. I might have been born here, but I'm a foreigner. Spilling swigs for victims of pigs and not Feeny's kid. Flip off the lid, who you got? You two could be a corporate green killer, bean spiller. Gangster love just like Steve Miller. They wear skivvies, us made a chinchilla. Factory in Mexico, bought a spring villa. I'm from the land where the Panthers grew. You know the city and the avenue. If you the boss, we'll be smabbing through, and we'll be grabbing you to say what's up with the revenue. And if you feel it, we can even try to seal it with the 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up, and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, this go. 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up, and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. It's a boom and child prostitution. When he show up at the stroke, give him lead restitution. You could throw a 20 in Nevada high oil. When he jump in after it, watch him boil. Toss a dollar in the river, and when he jump in, if you find he could swim, put lead boots on him and do it again. You and a friend, videotape and a party don't win. Tell him that boogers be selling like crack. He gon' put the little baggies in his nose and suffocate like that. Put a 50 in the barrel of a gun when they try to suck it out. Well, you know this one. Make sure you ain't got no priors. Don't tell them that we conspired. We could let them try to change a flat tire, or we could all at once retire. These are just a few of the 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap them up and shake them up, and then you know. Let them off the float and bait them with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap them up and shake them up, and then you know. Let them off the float and bait them with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. Bay Area, get ready to rock. Bay Area, you ready to rock. L.A., get ready to rock. L.A., are you ready to rock? Get ready to brawl, Chi-Town, are you ready to brawl? Detroit, Detroit, are you ready to brawl? Detroit, are you ready to brawl? Atlanta, are you ready to brawl? Atlanta, you ready to brawl? Houston, get ready to brawl. Houston, get ready to brawl. New York, are you ready to brawl? New York, are you ready to brawl? London, get ready to brawl. London, are you ready to brawl? Get ready to brawl, Cape Town, are you ready to brawl? Tokyo, get ready to brawl, Tokyo, get ready to brawl. Yeah.
Cool. 103.5 WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carver. I'm Furious George, and this has been the Furious George Show. Thanks for being here. If you haven't already noticed, I'm sorry I didn't tell you earlier, I'm furious, and the show may be offensive, and that whole thing about aliens and war, that's all just make-believe. I'll be back next Thursday. We do it every Thursday, 10 o'clock. If you want to learn more about micropowered radio, check out www.communityradio.coop or furiousg.blogspot.com. I'll be back next week. I'm furious. Thanks for listening to Micropowered Community-Based Radio. Oh, 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 oh
With rifles and machine guns pitted against the single fighting machine of the invaders from Mars. 120 known survivors. The rest strewn over the battle area from Grover's Mill to Plainsboro, crushed and trampled to death under the metal feet of the monster, or burned to cinders by its heat ray. The monster is now in control of the middle section of New Jersey and has effectively cut the state to its center. Communication lines are down from Pennsylvania to the Atlantic Ocean. Railroad tracks are torn and service from New York to Philadelphia discontinued, except routing some of the trains through Allerton and Phoenixville. Highways to the north, south, and west are clogged with frantic human traffic. Police and army reserves are unable to control the mad flight. By morning, the fugitives will have swelled Philadelphia, Camden, and Trenton. It is estimated to twice their normal population. Martial law prevails throughout New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. This time we take you to Washington for a special broadcast on the national emergency. The interior.
Citizens of the nation, I shall not try to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts the country, nor the concern of your government in protecting the lives and property of its people. However, I wish to impress upon you, private citizens and public officials, all of you, the urgent need of calm and resourceful action. Fortunately, this formidable enemy is still confined to a comparatively small area, and we may place our faith in the military forces to keep them there. In the meantime, placing our faith in God, we must continue the performance of our duties, each and every one of us, so that we may confront
this destructive adversary with a nation united, courageous, and consecrated to the preservation of human supremacy on this earth.
On the road again.
Nearly 700,000 Americans were arrested on marijuana charges last year. That's an enormous waste.
Cables have been received from English, French, and German scientific bodies offering assistance. Astronomers report continued gas outbursts at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The majority voiced the opinion that the enemy will be reinforced by additional rocket machines. There have been several attempts made to locate Professor Pearson of Princeton, who has observed Martians at close range. It is feared he was lost in the recent battle. Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report three Martian machines visible above treetops, moving north toward Somerville with population fleeing ahead of them. The heat ray is not in use, although advancing at express train speed, invaders pick their way carefully.
They seem to be making a conscious effort to avoid destruction of cities and countryside. However, they stop to uproot power lines, bridges, and railroad tracks. Their apparent objective is to crush resistance, paralyze communication, and disorganize human society. Here is a bulletin from Basking Ridge, New Jersey. Coon hunters have stumbled on a second cylinder similar to the first, embedded in the Great Swamp 20 miles south of Morristown. Army field pieces are proceeding from Newark to blow up the second invading unit before the cylinder can be opened from the fighting machine rig. They're taking up a position in the foothills of Watchung Mountain. Another bulletin from Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report enemy machines now three in number, increasing speed northward, kicking over houses and trees in their evident haste to form a conjunction with their allies south of Morristown. Machines also sighted by telephone operator east of Middlesex within 10 miles of Plainfield. Here's a bulletin from Winston Field, Long Island. A fleet of army bombers carrying heavy explosives flying north in pursuit of enemy. Scouting planes act as guides. They keep the speeding enemy in sight. Just a moment, please, ladies and gentlemen.
We've run special wires to the artillery line in adjacent villages to give you direct reports from the zone of the advancing enemy. First, we take you to the battery of the 22nd Field Artillery, located in the Watchung Mountains.
लेकिन सर एक ही पार्टी से काम नहीं चलेगा शादियां दो तो पार्टियां भी दो होनी चाहिए हेलो बिग मैन
31 meters protection 37 degrees 37 degrees fire got the tripod of one of them. Stop. The others are trying to repair it.
Quick, get the range. 30 meters.
30 meters. Protection 27 degrees.
27 degrees.
Fire. These are still answers. Letting off the smoke.
What is it?
Moving this way. Lying close to the ground. Moving fast.
Put on gas masks.
Get ready to fire. Give you 24 meters.
24 meters.
Protection 24 degrees.
24 degrees.
Fire.
Oh,
sure. I can't see, sir. Coming near. Get the range.
23 meters. 23 meters. 22. 22.
Partially crippled. Believe hit by shell from army gun in Wachung Mountain. Guns now appear silent. A heavy black fog hanging close to the earth of extreme density, nature unknown. No sign of heat ray. Enemy now turns east, crossing Passaic River into the Jersey marshes. Another straddles the Pulaski Skyway. Evident objective is New York City.